Chapter 13 Male and Female Differences, Sexual Discrimination and Related Ideas. Male-female differences. There are many similarities and differences between males and females, but there are actually more similarities than differences. That is, both sexes have all the qualities that we associate with human beings. Of course, there are also significant differences between the sexes. Some of these differences are innate and others are the result of culture and learning. Some of the differences between the sexes might be the result of relative weaknesses that are genetically determined. Many of the differences between men and women are only statistically true. That is, males and females have certain quantitative and qualitative differences that do not always apply to many individuals. For example, men statistically are physically stronger than women, but there are many women that are much stronger than most men. And there are also many men that are weaker than most women. A more obvious example can be seen on the jogging field. Statistically, men can run faster than women, but it is apparent that many women can run faster than men. There are also many differences between the sexes that are essentially prejudicial beliefs, which sometimes may become self-fulfilling prophecies. The following list contains a number of differences between males and females. The most obvious differences are related to the physiology of men and women. Men are genetically different from women in obvious ways. Each sex has a specific role in the biological reproduction process. In addition, men are usually, but certainly not always, stronger and taller than women. This tendency is also the result of genetics. However, all the remaining items on this list are essentially not determined directly by genetics. Most of the items are either the result of the socialization process. However, in some cases the genetically determined factors mentioned above have an indirect effect in the manifestation of a tendency. This will become obvious as you read the remainder of the items on the list. Note the following 23 items on this list are modifications of a table of common gender stereotypes, table 12-1 on page 375 presented in Taylor's Social Psychology. Men tend to be more aggressive than women. This is not just a belief. There is good statistical evidence to support this idea. One theory is that the differences in sex hormones make men more aggressive. This may or may not be true. Most likely it is a contributing factor, but there are probably other causes. Another possible cause or contributing factor to the relative difference in aggressiveness between the sexes may be related to the differences in physical strength. That is, women may learn to be less aggressive and more passive from early childhood throughout adult life, because they are weaker than men. In primitive or uncontrolled social situations, it can be quite dangerous if a woman behaves aggressively, especially when dealing with certain males. Even physical aggression against other women may be risky, because of certain weaknesses in physical anatomy, such as the breasts. In addition, a female acting aggressive toward another female is at risk of male intervention, which certainly can result in physical injury to the aggressive woman. Another contributing factor to male aggressiveness can be the learning process starting from childhood throughout life. That is, just as females are socialized to be non-aggressive, males are socialized to be aggressive. Little boys are given guns to play with, and they are often told that they will grow up to be soldiers. In most subcultures in our society, boys learn to wrestle and fight with other boys. Boys are inadvertently or intentionally encouraged to watch violent movies and television programs, which show a male role that is violent. The hero is often quite violent, which shows a proper male role as a violent one. Often, in the late teens and early 20s, males are drafted into the armed forces, where they learn how to kill other human beings. They are told that killing the enemy to defend your country is honorable. Even males that never serve in the armed forces learn about the concept of killing the enemy. Unfortunately, there are some males that see society and its institutions as an enemy, with undesirable consequences, which are of a criminal nature. It is believed that women are more emotional than men. In our society, men and women often express their emotional responses differently. Men learn to conceal certain emotional responses, such as crying, and women learn to display them. This difference probably has no genetic basis. It is probably the result of the socialization process in our society. It is believed that men like math and science more than women. This is probably the result of prejudicial beliefs. It is very easy to convince an individual that they are weak in these subjects, because they take more effort to learn than most course material taught in school. Thus, when women experience the normal difficulties in these subjects, they may be convinced by others that women are naturally inferior in math and science. But, when men experience the same difficulties in these subjects, they may be told that math and science requires more time and effort to learn. Thus, women may be taught to attribute the difficulty to lack of ability, and men may be taught to attribute the difficulty to the nature of math and science subjects. As a result of such beliefs, many women may study these subjects less, because they believe little or no success can result. This, of course, may lead to failure if such a woman takes math or science courses. However, a man that is convinced that science and math requires more time and effort, may invest more time and effort, which is likely to result in success. Thus, the belief that men are better in math and science may be a self-fulfilling prophecy in many cases. All of the above may discourage women from developing an interest in math or science, and it might encourage men to develop scientific and mathematical interests. Note: there is a common argument about the capabilities of males and females in relation to math and science. The argument fails, but it is interesting. Parts of the argument might be correct, and it goes as follows. Basically, the idea is that men do better in math and science because they have superior visual spatial abilities than women. Those who present this argument in a more sophisticated fashion will say that the left and right hemispheres of male and female brains are different. The argument goes that the right half of the male brain is specialized for visual spatial reasoning, and the left side is specialized for languages, which is supposed to account for the superior visual spatial abilities of males. With women, both sides are specialized for language. The argument continues that women do better in literature and language because they have superior linguistic abilities, which is supposedly related to having a left and right hemisphere that is specialized for language. The argument fails because science and math usually do not involve any more visual spatial abilities than literature. Most people that studied advanced mathematics and science courses are aware of this. There are some two- and three-dimensional geometry involved in math and science, but these courses are primarily based on symbolic representations that are essentially linguistic in nature. That is, studying these subjects involves learning a set of principles, a new language and symbolic reasoning that works with the principles and language. Thus, if women have superior linguistic abilities, they should do better in math and science than men. The argument fails further as follows. In literature, there is a considerable amount of visualizing that is necessary. That is, it is often necessary to visualize how characters appear, how they walk, how they move, how they physically interact, etc. The physical space that the characters interact in can also be important. What makes this more complicated is that the visual relationships are constantly changing throughout a piece of literature. All of this involves visual spatial abilities, which are far more involved than one would usually find in math or science. Thus, women should have more difficulty in literature than in math and science. Keep in mind that in math or science there is usually just a few lines, graphs, or diagrams that are clearly written on paper, which does not compare with the complicating changing visual factors involved in literature. Thus, the argument fails. Of course, the differences between men and women in relation to math and science are most likely the result of the socialization process and the general views of our society. End of note. It is believed that men are more ambitious than women. This belief can serve as a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people think men are more ambitious than women, the males will be encouraged more in school and in the work environment. Women may be discouraged by those who believe that women are less ambitious, because the assumption might be that a female will sooner or later give up her career to marry and raise a family. It is believed that men are more objective than women. This is probably just a prejudicial belief, especially in contemporary times. However, it may be that men were traditionally trained to be more objective than women. Another possibility is that men may be more willing to present their opinions in an objective way. Traditionally, women might have been more comfortable under certain conditions in presenting their opinions in an emotional way. It is believed that men are more dominant. Traditionally, this was probably true. It may still be true today under certain psychological, social, and cultural conditions. The causes for this difference might be the result of the fact that most men are stronger than women. Thus, there may be or have been more of a willingness of women to allow men to take the dominant role. This may have been especially true when physical strength was important to do a task or earn a living. In addition, women may have been willing to allow men to take the dominant role because of a fear of the superior physical strength of most males. In modern times, women may allow men to take the more dominant role because of tradition. In addition, it is often easier and quite acceptable for a woman to take the passive role and allow the man to take the dominant role. Another factor is men, even in modern times, often have more power than women, which can result in a woman allowing a man to display more dominant behavior. Men tend to take the leadership role more than women. The factors that relate to this are essentially the same as the factors presented in the preceding heading. It is believed that men are more dominant. It is believed that men are more competitive than women. This may have stemmed from traditional beliefs, which may have resulted from the fact that men usually have more physical strength than women. In earlier times, physical strength was needed for many competitive situations, including the military and the job market. Thus, under earlier conditions, men had the type of power needed to be more competitive and women did not. The traditional beliefs still might manifest today under certain psychological, social, and cultural conditions. It is believed that men are more self-confident than women. This may have been traditionally true, especially during the era when physical strength was a primary factor for survival and success on the job. In modern times, this may be less true. In many situations in our times, women may be more confident than men. Many would disagree with this assessment, because the conclusion that one arrives at is likely to be determined by the specific set of individuals that one is interacting with. In general, it is probably most likely that people who are confident have a reason to be confident, and vice versa. Specifically, when someone is in a social and cultural environment where their assets are highly valued, self-confidence is likely to develop. And of course, just the opposite is true. However, an individual's psychological state can cause him or her to have more or less confidence than would be justified by the social and cultural conditions that the individual is faced with. Another important idea is that there are differences in the way people project confidence. Some people have little self-confidence, but they are skilled in displaying a state of self-confidence to others, which does not really exist. Other individuals may be very self-confident, but openly verbalize the few insecure feelings they have to others. Such individuals may come across as lacking in self-confidence. Thus, women that are more open about their feelings may project lack of self-confidence to others, which may falsely indicate lack of confidence. Another important factor is the way the individual is brought up. Some people are trained from childhood to have self-confidence or to project it. Others are taught just the opposite. This, of course, can determine how much self-confidence a man or woman appears to have. It is believed that men are more logical than women. This is primarily a prejudicial belief. However, parents and teachers who believe that men are more logical than women may train males to be more logical and women to be less logical. It is believed that men are more independent than women. This might have been especially true in the past. Women were supported and protected by men. Thus, the male developed more independence than women. In modern times, this is probably much less true. Women have the opportunity of earning a reasonably good living, and physical protection is probably less of a concern than it was in the earliest of times. However, in the city, women are still often concerned about walking in the street alone, especially at night. They often must depend on a male to accompany them for safety, or they may use an automobile to avoid the streets and public transportation. It is believed that women are gentler than men. the level of gentleness can be determined by the role that an individual is taking. If a woman is taking the nurturing role of children, she will probably appear more gentle than a male in a non-nurturing role. However, if the situation is reversed, the man will probably appear more gentle than the woman. In addition, the fact that women are usually weaker than men may motivate women to be gentle. If a woman is not gentle, that is, harsh, under some social and cultural conditions, her physical safety might be threatened. It is believed that women tend to cry more easily than men. This is most likely a learned response, which differs in various cultures. That is, males are taught not to cry as they reach late childhood to early adolescence. Females are given the freedom to express their sadness, frustration, or dissatisfaction by means of crying, regardless of age. Such emotional expression may be inadvertently rewarded by providing assistance for a crying female. Of course, as females mature into adulthood, the expectation is that they will only cry about highly significant events. However, a male that is older than 12 or 13 will probably receive at least some ridicule if he cries. There can be exceptions to this, of course. In extreme cases, such as the death of a close family member, some crying might be quite acceptable. This is especially true if it is done in private. It is believed that women are more likely to enjoy art and literature. This may be true with specific women and it may be quite false with other women. There are many males that also enjoy art and literature. Most of us probably have known both male and female art and literature instructors. It is believed that women use less harsh language than men. There are, of course, many women that do not use harsh language, but there are also many men that do not use such language. In general, this factor varies with the individual regardless of whether the person is a man or woman. It is believed that women tend to be more tactful. This might be true under some conditions, but when it is true, it is the result of learning. Being more tactful may be a survival advantage for women in certain uncontrolled social environments, because women usually have less physical strength than men. In addition, often women have less social and economic power than men. Thus, behaving in a tactful way might be a necessity for women under certain social and cultural conditions. Of course, there are women that are not at all tactful, and there are men that are highly tactful. It is believed that women tend to be more interested in their own appearance than men. In the past, this was probably quite true. It might still be true in modern times. However, another possibility is that men do not express or reveal their concern about their own physical appearance, as women do. It is believed that women are more aware of the feelings of other people. This is probably only true under certain conditions. It might be the result of the fact that women usually have less physical, social, and economic power than men. Thus, a concern about the feelings of others, especially the more powerful individuals, can be a survival advantage. However, another contributing cause is most likely the result of the fact that women often take the role of a caregiver for children, a husband, and the sick. Part of this role is to be concerned about the feelings of others. It is believed that women have a stronger need for security than men. This is most likely learned and it probably only holds true under certain psychological, social, and cultural conditions. The cause might be the result of differences in physical strength between men and women. This was probably more true in the past. Another factor is men have had more social and economic power traditionally. This might still be true today for many individuals. Thus, a woman might have a greater need for security as a result of social, cultural, and economic conditions. If the woman wants to raise a family, the need for security might even be greater. It is believed that women are more talkative than men. This might only be true in certain situations and with certain women. Some studies have shown that women reveal slightly more than men. This is especially the case when women are talking to other women. However, the difference is much smaller than many people would expect. It is believed that women are neater than men. This might be true in certain segments of society. When it is true, it is almost certainly the result of learning. it is believed that women are more dependent than men. This was traditionally true as far as economics was concerned. In the past, women did not have the same opportunity to earn money as men did. There were high-salary jobs available to men and there were low-salary jobs available to women. Occasionally a woman would obtain a high-status job that paid well, but that was the exception to the general situation. Thus, women had to depend on men. This may even be true in modern times for some women, because of a tradition that was passed down and because economic equality in the job market has not been obtained. In addition, women are physically weaker than men and thus they may depend on men for physical protection. Men and women dress differently. This, of course, is the result of the socialization process. Women learn to dress one way and men learn to dress another way. There are some exceptions to this with some of the bohemian-like subcultures in our society. In such subcultures often, but not necessarily always, the men and women both dress in old jeans. Sexual discrimination and related ideas. The concept of sexual discrimination has developed and changed in recent years. That is, what is considered sexual discrimination in modern times was considered proper and legal behavior in earlier times. For example, in the past it was considered perfectly proper to pay women less because they were not going to support a family if they were single. The assumption was that sooner or later they will marry and be supported by their husbands. A related assumption was that such women would sooner or later get pregnant and leave the job. This did not justify paying women as much as men or advancing them in job rank in the view of employers of this earlier period. And the opposite was also assumed by such employers. That is, men had to be paid more because they will support a family. It was assumed that men would stay on the job longer than women. This justified, in the view of the employers of the period, the advancement of men to higher positions, which may have resulted in equally qualified women being rejected for such advancement. Another discriminatory assumption was that men were more capable at the more difficult tasks involving intellectual or physical power. Even though these assumptions are obviously unfair and discriminatory, it was not considered illegal or improper at the time. Of course, it certainly is unfair and unjustified. If we go back further in time, we find that women were not allowed to vote or even own property. Various political movements changed the view of our society, which lead to changes in the law. Now we can all recognize the injustice of the way women were treated in relation to certain economic, political and social aspects of life. Question: is there discrimination against men? In general, the most common assumption held in our society is probably that there is little or no discrimination against males. That is, it is probably assumed by most people that men are generally treated fairly with perhaps a few isolated exceptions. However, if we examine the reality from a perspective that is somewhat different than the generally held view, it appears that there is much discrimination against men. All of the following are unrecognized examples of discrimination against males. Men are drafted to fight in wars and women are not. This often means that some men will lose their limbs and become cripples for life. It also means some will die in their late teens or early 20s. However, in the earliest of times, before there were machines and guns to fight wars, the practice of using only men to fight was quite logical. Physical strength was a primary component of a good soldier, and most men are much stronger than women. Women in the earlier period would have a significantly less of a chance of surviving than men in military combat, because they would encounter stronger male enemy soldiers. Thus, the discrimination made sense in that earlier period. However, the less rational discriminatory policies of the military in modern times are based on the traditions that developed during this earlier period. Traditionally, men were expected to provide most or all of the financial support for their family. In the earlier period, this may have been quite rational, because earning a good living was often based on the physical strength of the worker. However, after machines replaced manual labor, both women and men have equal potential to earn a living, at least in theory. Often, the discrimination against women in the job market does make it harder for a female to earn a good salary. Jobs for males are usually more dangerous than jobs for women. Traditionally, our society is more likely to risk the life of a male than a female. Another factor is, of course, that men may be more willing to take dangerous jobs because of the influence of society on their self-concept. Under some circumstances, the male may have little choice in accepting a dangerous job, such as in the military, or because of economic factors and job availability. There is probably more stress put on males than on women in our society. This is reflected in the earlier death rate for men. Of course, there may be other causes involved in the death rate differences between the sexes, such as the ideas presented above. Males are often depicted on television, in the movies and other mass media as vicious, immoral and violent. Women are sometimes depicted in sexual roles, but so are males. In fact, when a woman is depicted in a sexual role, she usually has a male partner depicted in a sexual role. In spite of what some people believe, sexual roles and the related behavior are normal for both men and women. However, men are often depicted in the mass media in abnormal ways. It is not considered normal or proper for anybody to behave in the vicious, immoral or violent ways men are depicted in the media. Men are treated more harshly than women in the social world. This is probably the least important item on this list, but it is still a form of discrimination. This discrimination may partly be the result of the way men are depicted in the mass media. Men are usually given harsher jail sentences than women. This is obvious to anybody that reads the newspapers or listens to the news on radio or television. Female criminals usually get much milder sentences than men. Male murderers are more likely to be executed than female murderers. In divorce, most of the time it is the man that must pay alimony to the woman. This can be especially unfair when the woman initiates the divorce, and in effect throws the man out of his house. This can even be more unjust when the divorce was caused or triggered by financial problems that were beyond the control of the man, such as a man who loses his job as a result of undesirable economic conditions of the national economy. There is also job discrimination for males, but this is not usually recognized by society in general. If a male applies for a job that is traditionally held by women, there is a high probability that he will experience discrimination even if he is qualified for the job. Note, this is based on a study conducted by Cash, Gillen, and Burns in 1977. Men were rated as better for masculine jobs and females were rated higher for jobs traditionally held by females. In another study investigating the same idea, which was conducted by Levinson in 1975, revealed that 28% of the women inquiring about jobs that were traditionally for men were discouraged by a potential employer. However, 44% of the men inquiring about jobs that were traditionally for women were discouraged by the potential employer. Thus, males experienced more discrimination in the study than females. End of note. Overall, there is probably much more discrimination against men than women. This is apparent from the above list. However, many of us may not really see the above items as discrimination. It may be seen as the natural role of males in our society, but this is the way we saw the discriminatory roles that society put women into in the past. Thus, it truly is a form of discrimination, but there are many people in our society that would disagree with this view. My conclusion is that the above does not excuse or justify discrimination against women. However, we need a men's movement just as we have a women's movement. The reduction of discrimination against men does not necessarily compete with the primary goals of the women's movement. That is, discrimination against men does not necessarily help women, and discrimination against women does not necessarily help men. I believe any type of discrimination is dysfunctional for society in general. Question: what factors increase and what factors decrease the likelihood that an individual will be treated and evaluated according to the sexual stereotype of his or her gender? One of the most important factors is how much information an individual or a group has about the person in question. If we know much about an individual, we are less likely to treat and evaluate him or her with a sexual stereotype. However, if we know little or nothing about a person, we are more likely to treat and evaluate him or her according to sexual stereotype. This tendency can even be seen in the way babies are treated. This was revealed in a study conducted by Condry and Condry in 1976. In this study, a videotape of babies were presented to adults. One half of the adults were told that they were watching a film of a little boy, and the other half were told that they were watching a film of a little girl. The adults that believed they were watching a videotape of a boy interpreted the behavior of the child as more active and forceful than the individuals who thought they were watching a film of a little girl. The child's reaction to a jack-in-the-box toy was thought to be a fear response by the adults who thought they were watching a little girl. However, the adults who thought they were watching a little boy were more likely to interpret the child's response as anger. A similar study was conducted by Vogel et al. In 1991. This study involved both college students and children as observers. The infants that were observed were rated as smaller, nicer, softer, and more beautiful when the college students and children thought they were watching a little girl. However, when the film was presented to individuals that were mothers, the evaluations of the infants were not based on stereotypes. This was most likely the result of knowledge and experience with children, which the mother certainly had. In general, a person's knowledge and experience can allow them to make more accurate judgments about human beings, without relying on prejudicial stereotypes. In spite of tradition and prejudicial beliefs about females, the roles in our society are changing for women. Perhaps a more accurate description is the roles for women are expanding. It is still considered proper for a woman to be a housewife who is supported by her husband. However, in modern times it is quite proper for a woman to take just about any job-related role that men take. To a lesser extent, the roles of men are also expanding. It is probably more acceptable for a male to care for children than it was in the past. But it is probably quite unacceptable in most of the subcultures in our society for a male to become a house husband who is supported by his wife. There is, of course, still discrimination based on sex, but it is illegal, and can often be circumvented by a determined man or woman.